In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The liturgical season, Lent, and also the Gospel today, Luke 16:19, prompt us. Memento mori, which translated means, remember, you must die. Latinists tell us the meaning. The verb memenisse means to bear in mind, remember, or think of, while the verb mori is to die. Thus, it very literally is keep dying in mind and be mindful of dying. Why remember death, though? It is because it is important and it builds wisdom. It reminds us of the value of following Christ via the gospel. History gives us context about this phrase, memento mori. It has its roots in ancient Rome. It's been central to art, philosophy, literature, architecture, and more throughout history. How, you're wondering? The phrase is believed to have originated from an ancient Roman tradition where a slave would remind a triumphant general of his mortality during his victory parade. After a major military victory, the victorious generals were paraded through the streets to the roars of the masses. They were the celebrated hero. The general was idolized, viewed as a divine person by his troops and the public alike. However, riding along in the same chariot, standing behind the worshipped general, was a slave, and the slave would continuously whisper, remember, you are mortal, into the ears of the victorious generals as they were paraded through the streets, coming home triumphant from battle. This was done to remind the general that despite his current triumph, he is a mortal being. The point of this reminder wasn't to be morbid or to promote fear, but it was to inspire and to motivate, to clarify, to keep the man grounded. Stoics would have used memento mori to invigorate their lives, to create a priority and meaning for events, treating each day as a gift, reminding themselves constantly not to waste time in the day on trivial and vain things. They remembered that they would die one day. Monsignor Charles Pope of Washington, D.C., observed something interesting about this parable today of the rich man who was tormented in hell. We notice that the rich man does not ask to go to heaven. He doesn't even bring it up. He asks straight away that Lazarus brings relief to him. What's that all about? Well, we could say that it's as if the rich man is recognizing what his metaphysical circumstances now dictate. His position is fixed. He's dead. Even though it would make sense that he would ask to go to heaven, as Christ said, there is a chasm and a chaos between heaven and hell. No one can pass through it. Metaphysics had taken over in this dead man's circumstances. His decision was final. He really never worshiped God. He's in hell. He can't ask to go to heaven. It wouldn't even make any sense in any kind of physical way. He knew he was in hell. Sought some relief. Scripture doesn't really say more about that relief, but we know he had made all the wrong choices, this wealthy individual now languishing in hell. What does this mean? Monsignor Pope suggests a couple of things. First, heaven is a place that is God's kingdom, And everything there is as he wishes it to be. He has told us about it in Scripture and through the voice of the church. It's laid out in the gospel. It's not about us. It's about God. It's heaven. And secondly, we can add in this angle that once dead, we should remember that it is explained our decisions are fixed at that time. God gave us the chance, gives us the chance now to hear him and follow. And at the hour of death, though, the decisions are fixed in place. There's no more pivoting. Can this be clarified a little bit further? It could. What does this mean, then? It means that the warning is that some people have become so charmed by the world, the comforts, the appetites, the victories, they really prefer to avoid the teachings of the gospel and its demands. They just don't want them. Developing a stance in which they do not desire heaven that's referred to by Scripture and by Christ. They prefer their own ideas of reality. Thus, even when they die, the situation is as extreme as we hear in the gospel today. In a place of torment, presumably hell, they could not even rightly ask to go to heaven. They never really built up a desire for it in this lifetime. And then they die to that state. And arriving at the place of torment, it would be evident to them that the choices that they made never were compatible with going to heaven anyway. In a sense, we could say this is the sad metaphysical reality of, quote, trusting the science only. There is no faith. I trust science. I don't want to think about the things of heaven. That seems to be somebody's imagination or everybody's opinion. They somehow find a way to thrust aside the faith. Let's just stick with science. At that point, the rich man in torment, we could say metaphysically, we could say scientifically, finds himself in an impossible position, impossible to go to heaven, and he realizes it full well. That's why he doesn't ask to go to heaven. He asks, hopefully, for some kind of relief. As the church teaches about death, the time of free will is over after we've died. Decision-wise, at death, everything's in a fixed final position. How did we carry out our life that God granted us? Well, we have the chance in life, then we should train our desires for heaven as revealed by God and his church. And hence we do well to, as the ancient Romans did, remember death, memento mori. Because moments of comfort, apparent victories, and worldly successes do come and go. Remember, you must die. This phrase, with a sense of urgency, beckons us to live then a pious life, to resist earthly pleasures and temptations, that we may be ready to meet and be judged by God. So why remember death? Because it's important. It builds wisdom. It helps us aspire for a good Lent and to follow our Lord via the gospel. Memento mori teaches us to reform our lives while we are still among the living. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.